is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
It is amazing how much power can rot a family from the inside out before anyone finally notices the smell. The Murdaugh name used to mean something down in the South Carolina Lowcountry. For 100 years, they ran that corner of South Carolina like a private fiefdom. They just work in the justice system. They were the justice system. And in light of this new movie that has come out, a series on Hulu, Murdaugh, Death in the Family. If you haven't been following along with this case and this is new to you, welcome. And welcome to one of the craziest stories you're ever going to dive into. Let me welcome you. We have tons of content about this, including a podcast with literally, I think, damn near 1,000 episodes on it. It's called The Trial of Alec Murdaugh. Big red graphic. You can find it wherever you get podcasts if you want to go back and relive the magic from the beginning. And plenty of content right here on this channel, too. So, welcome. Let's talk about this case. One of the many facets of it. If you're wondering about the Mallory Beach situation, that sounds really downplaying. I don't mean to sound like that. You know what I mean? We're going to dive into it. You're going to understand this piece of the wheel. Because the Murdaughs really are. It's like the Wheel of Fortune. All the different tiles, the dollar amounts on, that's just different pieces of it. And this is just another one of those. And it's not to downplay her life, but I'm saying it's just one piece of the chaos wheel. Because there's so much that makes up the Murdaughs. So, give me your thoughts as we go along in the comments. So, the Murdaughs, like I was saying, for 100 years, ran that part of South Carolina like a private fiefdom. They didn't just work in the justice system, they were the justice system. 3 generations of solicitors, the family law firm wrapped around the courthouse like ivy, judges and cops and clerks who knew better than to cross them. You didn't win cases against the Murdaughs. You got permission to lose gracefully. Until one night in February of 2019, when the river finally took the life of the Murdaughs, or took a life, rather, that the Murdaughs couldn't buy back. Yeah. Sucks when that happens, doesn't it? When your world comes shattering down because one of your spawns is just as irresponsible as you, with no prefrontal cortex functioning. Yeah. Comes back to bite you, doesn't it? It was late after 2 a.m. when Paul Murdaugh, 19 years old at the time, too drunk to stand straight, climbed behind the wheel of his father's boat. 6 kids on board, a few of them begging him not to drive. He laughed it off. He said it's his boat. He'd been drinking all night, using his brother's ID to buy liquor and beer, stopping at bars along the river, in the boat. Witnesses said he was angry, belligerent, daring anyone to take the wheel from him. Nobody could talk him down. Moments later, the boat hit a piling near Parris Island, so hard it threw people into the cold, black water like ragdolls. When the chaos stopped, one name echoed through the dark: Mallory. Mallory Beach was missing. 19 years old, beautiful, kind, the kind of girl who made people feel safe. And now she was gone. Thanks to a Murdaugh. The others crawled onto the riverbank, bloodied, screaming. They called 911. You can hear it in the recording. Panic, confusion, disbelief. They knew what had happened. They knew Paul was drunk. They knew this never should have happened. And that's where the story should have been. This story should have just been about grief and accountability. But it's not. because this was a Murtaugh crash. And when the Murtaughs are involved, the rules change. At least in Alex's clan. From the minute the phone started ringing, the machine kicked into gear. Alec Murtaugh, Paul's father, shows up at Beaufort Memorial Hospital, not as a concerned parent, but as a man on a mission. You'll love this. Witnesses said he moved through the hallways like he owned them. He wasn't there to comfort anyone. He was there to control the story. He started slipping into rooms where the other injured teens were being treated. Kids who were still dazed, bleeding, and traumatized. Nurses tried to stop him. One told security to keep him out, and he ignored him. According to later depositions, Alex went straight to Connor Cook, one of Paul's closest friends, and told him to keep his mouth shut, allegedly. Told him not to say who was driving. Told him he'd take care of it. While flashing a badge around, too, by the way. All official looking. It's a Murtaugh way. Imagine that. You're 19, confused, terrified. And the most powerful man in your county is standing over you telling you, I got this. It's not protection. That's manipulation. He even told Connor which lawyer to hire. Of course he did. A family friend who'd done business with the Murtaugh firm for years. Wrap this boy up in the same web. Keep that circle tight. Meanwhile, Alec is making calls. People overheard him on the phone saying, she's gone, don't worry. Cold, clinical, not the father, grieving a tragedy. A man already spinning the next move. And his son, Paul, was still drunk and belligerent. Hospital records show his blood alcohol content at 0.286, three times the legal limit. His injuries were consistent with being behind the wheel, and he reeked of booze. He was combative with nurses, but somehow law enforcement didn't give him a sobriety test. Ah! Why would you do that? Well, you're in the low country. We're the Murtaughs. Alcohol don't affect us. It only affects the other people that get in the way of it and us. Like, that should have been a line in the movie. Totally fabricated, totally made up. But it seems like that could have been. I mean, think about this. Six teenagers in a mangled boat, one girl missing, everyone pointing at Paul, and the cops just don't test him. They draw blood for the hospital, sure, but they don't treat it as evidence. It's not oversight, that's protection. Didn't stop there. Within hours, the story started to shift. Someone was whispering that maybe Connor was the one driving. Maybe Paul wasn't responsible. Maybe no one really knew what happened. That wasn't confusion. That was strategy. The Murtaughs had been playing this game for decades. Controlled the first story, and every story after that bends to it. Alex and his father, Randolph, and former solicitor were both working phones that night. Randolph allegedly told people Paul and Connor was driving. And once that seed was planted, the machine did what it does best, create fog. Investigators later admitted that two deputies at the scene had ties. To the Murtaugh law firm. Think about the odds of that. In a rural county, two responding officers just happen to have financial or family connections to the most powerful legal family in the region. Huh. You think that didn't color how the reports were written? One investigator was even pulled off the case after it came out that his wife worked for the Murtaugh firm. And no one told the victim's family about that conflict until lawyers dragged it into the light months later. So while Mallory's family was searching the river for their daughter's body, the Murtaughs were searching for a way to make sure the blame landed anywhere but at their own doorstep. When Mallory's body was finally found 8 days later, the Murtaughs didn't offer remorse. They offered spin. Paul was charged with boating under the influence, causing death, but he walked free. Smiling in his booking photo, bond posted before the ink was dry, the arrogance was staggering. A family acted like this was a misunderstanding, an inconvenience, not someone's daughter's death. At the hospital, nurses and security guards later testified they'd never seen anything like it. Alec Murdaugh, in and out of rooms, telling kids what to say, telling parents which lawyers to hire, dropping his name like a weapon. That is not grief. That is control. That's narcissism in motion. When tragedy becomes a stage and the only thing that matters is maintaining the illusion of power. The cover-up didn't even need to be sophisticated. The family's influence was so deep that people hesitated to challenge them. The sheriff's deputies knew who signed their paychecks. The prosecutors knew who built the courthouse. The judges knew who helped them get elected. In that part of South Carolina, the Murdaughs weren't just rich, they were royalty. So the system did what it always did. It bent. It took civil lawsuits and public outrage to drag the truth into the daylight. Mallory's family sued Alec, Buster, and the convenience store that sold the alcohol. Through discovery, the whole rotten network started to surface. Conflicts of interest, missing reports, destroyed evidence, officers with family connections. The more the Beach family pushed, the more cracks appeared in the Murdaugh armor. Connor Cook eventually came forward and said he'd lied to investigators at first because he was scared. He said he'd been told to stay quiet, to say he didn't know who was driving. He said he'd seen what happened to people who crossed the Murdaughs. He called it what it was, fear. That one word explains everything. The Murdaughs built a culture of fear. They didn't have to threaten anyone directly. The name did its work for them. Everyone in Hampton County knows the score. Cross them, and your life gets harder. Your case disappears. Your job gets shaky. Your tires maybe go flat, allegedly. Or worse. So people played along, and Mallory's family got stonewalled at every turn. The evidence against Paul was overwhelming. But the investigation dragged for months. When charges finally came, the family acted insulted, like the system had turned on them. They didn't see accountability as justice. They saw it as betrayal. That's the narcissism at the center of it all. It's not just arrogance. It's the belief that rules are for other people. The consequences are optional, and reputation matters more than human life. Alec Murdaugh spent his whole career manipulating that belief system. He didn't see institutions as sacred. He saw them as tools. He'd been the perpetrator for so long, he thought he could finesse this like every other mess he'd ever cleaned up. But this time, the stain didn't wash out because the Beach family refused to back down. They wanted accountability, not a settlement, not silence. They wanted truth. And chasing it, they exposed more than just the lies about the boat crash. They cracked open the vault. Once lawyers started digging into Alec's finances through discovery, everything started to unravel. The missing settlement money, the embezzled funds, the fake clients, the secret loans, the insurance scams, it all started with the boat. When Paul and Maggie were murdered in 2021, people asked, why? Why now? Why them? But the timing wasn't random. The walls were closing in. The boat crash lawsuit was about to force Alec to open his books. He couldn't control it anymore. The old tricks weren't working. The cover-ups had stopped covering. The boat crash didn't just expose one family's corruption. It showed how generations of unchecked power breed rot, how entitlement manipulates or mutates into delusion, how a man like Alec Murdaugh could stand in a hospital full of bleeding kids and think, how do I spin this? Instead of, how do I make this right? And make no mistake, this wasn't a one-time moral failure. It was a logical conclusion of a family that had lived too long without boundaries. The Murdaughs believed their own mythology. They thought the law was elastic. They thought the truth was negotiable. They thought they could control everything. And for a long time, they did. Until a 19-year-old died on a cold river, and her parents refused to be intimidated. Years later, as Alec sits behind bars for the murders of his wife and son, spoiler alert, the threads all lead back to that night. The arrogance, the manipulation, the lies. It all started when the mask slipped, when the old low country empire realized it couldn't bend gravity forever. Mallory Beach's death wasn't just an accident. It was the moment the Murdaugh's illusion shattered. It was the night people stopped whispering and started asking questions. Why did law enforcement treat this family differently? Why did evidence disappear? And why did a drunk 19-year-old get more defense than a dead girl? Every question peeled away another layer of rot. And by the time the world learned about the millions Alec had stolen from clients, the House of Cards was already collapsing. The Murdaughs built their empire on privilege, fear, and a myth of integrity. But when reality showed up in a mangled boat, they did what narcissists always do. They lied, they deflected, and they blamed everyone else. Because in the end, that's what narcissism really is. The inability to see anyone else's pain is real. For them, Mallory wasn't a person. She was a problem to solve, a headline to minimize, a threat to their image. But her name endured longer than their power did. Today, the Murdaugh dynasty is dust. The courthouse plaques are tarnished. The law firm has been renamed. The patriarch is a convict. The legacy is a cautionary tale. And every time someone tells a story of what happened that night on the river, the arrogance, the lies, the cruelty, it chips away at the last piece of that old corrupt empire. Mallory's name still matters. The truth still matters. And every lie the Murdaughs told to protect themselves only made the truth louder. Because power can hide the truth for a while, but not forever. And when it finally surfaces, it drags the monsters into the light, kicking, screaming, and still pretending they're the victims. That's the Murdaugh story in one sentence. And that's why Mallory Beach will be remembered long after they're forgotten. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You'll find us there, and you'll also find us wherever you get podcasts. So search there. Search everywhere. Podcast for you. YouTube for you. Content for everyone. Or something like that. Anyway, please do press subscribe. And also, please comment. Like I said, I'd love to get your thoughts on this story. All right, until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.